Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, December 25, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington on a Christmas Day. This is Chris Kande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemire.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The Zimbabwe Republic Police says 13 people died in road accidents yesterday, a figure slightly lower than the 17 deaths recorded on the same day last year.
We have deployed adequate police officers all over the country. So we want to ensure that at the Christmas Day, New Year's Day is celebrated in a peaceful and tranquil environment.
Most Zimbabweans today joined the rest of the world in celebrating Christmas.
This commemoration is very important because it reminds us of what was done in order for you and me to be who we are today, that he is born. And that message is a heart message.
Some caregivers in Mashingo raise money to cheer underprivileged Zimbabweans.
We condemn that they have not been paid. Workers are entitled to their full benefits. What is even more disgusting is that workers are paid using vouchers, grocery vouchers.
And the Zimbabwe Union of Journalists condemns Alpha Media Holdings for giving journalists grocery vouchers instead of salaries.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
The Zimbabwe Republic Police says 13 people died in road accidents yesterday, a figure slightly lower than the 17 deaths recorded on the same day last year. But the number of road accidents recorded went up from 106 to 127. Police were still compiling accident reports for today by the time we went on air. Road accidents in Zimbabwe have been blamed on human factors such as speeding, drunken driving, indiscipline, and driver's impatience, low fines for road offenses, non-removal of broken-down vehicles along roads, total disregard of road regulations, driver fatigue, expired tires, red light jumping, and driving without licenses, among others. Police spokesperson Chief Superintendent Paul Nyati tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu police have been deployed in large numbers to monitor motorists in an effort to curb road accidents.
Blessing, we are saying motorists should plan their journeys well in advance. It's really not proper for someone to be always in a rush and in the process they contribute towards the accident. We want motorists to be responsible. They should observe all road rules and regulations. If they are not supposed to speed at a certain portion of the road due to speed limits, they must act likewise. If we say they must not go through red robots, then we do not expect them to go through red robots. So at the end of the day, driving is an individual effort. And this individual effort requires responsibility. We can only curb accidents if we exercise caution, if we are responsible and observe the sacrosanct of life.
Let's talk about the police action. Have you deployed enough officers to deal with some errant drivers?
Certainly. We have deployed adequate police officers all over the country. So we want to ensure that the Christmas Day, New Year's Day, is celebrated in a peaceful and tranquil environment.
Some members of the public are also complaining, Chief Superintendent Nyati, that there's a lot of corruption going on.
A blessing, it takes two to tango. Corruption can only take place where there are two or more parties who are willing to do things in a wrong manner. So as police, our stance is that we've got a zero tolerance stance on corruption. We arrest the giver and the taker. In this case, we arrest the police officer, we arrest the member of the public who is offering a bribe. And we are saying, if your vehicle is in tip-top condition, if your vehicle is meeting all the conditions which are required for it to be traveling on the road, then why are you opting to pay a bribe?
That was police spokesperson Chief Superintendent Paul Nyati speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. According to the World Organization, about 1.25 million people die each year as a result of road accidents. Road traffic injuries are the leading cause of death among young people aged 15 to 29 years.
I'm Tatenda Gumbo. Greetings of the season from your Studio 7 team in Washington, D.C.
Zimbabweans joined the rest of the world today in celebrating Christmas despite current economic hardships gripping the country. Some people attended church services in the country, while for most Zimbabweans, this is the time to meet family members and friends. Ministers of religion have the following messages for Zimbabweans.
Hello there. My name is Reverend Josias Mudenda of the Methodist Church in Zimbabwe. Today we are celebrating a very important time in our lives as Christians, even non-Christians, that the Son of Man is born to us. This commemoration is very important because it reminds us of what was done in order for you and me to be who we are today, that He is born. And that message is a heart message. And we want to thank God for the gift of Jesus Christ in our lives. God bless you.
My name is Father Buese. I'm the Red Titan of Greenwell Anglican Church for DCA. I want to wish all Zimbabweans a peaceful Christmas and a prosperous 2016. We've gone through a difficult time in our nation, the many retrenchments that have taken place, the job losses, but I believe God cares for all of us and God still has hope for all of us. And I believe we should approach 2016 with hope that God will change and turn around our nation for the better. I pray that all of us will do everything that we do in moderation, and we remember that 2016 comes with its own challenges, and we must all be blessed for them. May God bless you all. In Jesus' name, amen.
How are you? How are you? How are you? How are you? We are greeting you.
Hello, Zimbabwe. How are you? I'm Tatenda Gumbo, and I'm inviting you to send us your audio and voice messages about Christmas and the new year. Our WhatsApp number is 001-202-465-0318. Again, that number is 001-202-465-0318. Tell us how you are doing and what you think about this year's Christmas. Remember to tell us who you are and where you are from.
Thank you to those of you who responded and sent us your Christmas and New Year greetings. Here are some of the ones we have received.
Hey, how are you? I'm Tafara. I'm in Shurugwe. I would like to wish a happy and prosperous New Year to my wife, Clora, and to my daughter, Candice, and my son, Hest, my brothers and sisters in Shishavane, my mom in Shishavane, and all my friends in Gweru and around the country. Thank you.
I'm doing the Christmas well. I'm preparing it well. And I've planned to buy a lot of food for my family. And I'm also going to see whether my best musician at my township is coming there, who is Chapraiser. And I'm in Zimbabwe, in Gurwe district.
Hi, this is Tona Kumbo from Epworth. I want to say happy holidays and compliments of the season to the following: Akins Pamela Kumbo, Phyllis Kumbo, Peace Kumbo, Lois Mapa, Maureen Kumbo, Francis Kumbo, Severia Kumbo, Anna Kumbo, and my friends Tendai Mekira, Amos Mdozi, Nomo Mdadi, Abraham Mateta, and all those who know me. Thank you.
Thank you. We want to hear from you out there, so please send us your audio and video messages on WhatsApp. We'll give out some calendars and radio receivers to those who send us these messages. And so include your address when you send us the messages. Our number is 1-202-465-318. That number again, 1-202-465-0318. We are also on Facebook.
It's also time for Zimbabweans to take stock of their activities this year and make projections for the coming year. For some, the new year normally offers a chance for a new beginning and a better life, but most Zimbabweans remain pessimistic about the future. Our correspondent Taurai Shava brings us more.
Bulawayo resident Musawenko Sinyoni says she believes it is by God's grace that she has gone through what she describes as a very tough year for her and her family. Nyoni is an informal trader and also the chairperson of the Bulawayo province of the Zimbabwe Chamber of the Informal Economy Associations, or ZCIEA, a grouping that brings together an array of informal traders, including those who run flea markets like herself. She says business has been bad, that she can't even take a break for the festive season, hoping to capitalize on the odd client who would do last-minute shopping. Although Nyoni says she's not a pessimist, she says if there's no drastic change for the better in the country's economy in the coming year, she sees herself being unable to continue her business as she has been struggling to break even. Zane Lenyati, a cross-border trader, says by this time of the year, she would have saved enough to pay for her children's fees for the next term and also to spoil them during the festive season, but notes that at the moment she is struggling to provide them with basic necessities. Nyati, who buys and resells clothes and basics from Botswana and South Africa, says the fall of the rand has seriously affected her income. She too is worried that she could be compelled to stop her only source of livelihood and hopes that government takes decisive steps to ensure that the multi-currency regime does not create further hardships for the ordinary majority.
Trading has been difficult for us because of the rand, the rates are against the US dollar. It has become difficult for us to go and buy and sell at a profit this side in Zimbabwe, as people are now refusing the rand, and we just wish the government would do something about it.
The fall of the rand has mostly affected people in Bulawayo and the hinterland, as most people from the region either work in South Africa or find it convenient to buy their basic goods from the neighboring country. Tine Piki is a Zimbabwean artisan who works for a South African manufacturing company. Piki, who always comes back home during the festive season, also laments the fall of the rand.
With the cash that I've brought, I can't even buy anything because no one seems to love to use the rand.
The Bulawayo-based Public Policy Research Institute of Zimbabwe says instead of continuing with the multi-currency regime, it could be advantageous for Zimbabwe to join the Rand Monetary Union, which includes South Africa, Lesotho, Namibia, and Swaziland. He says although it has its own disadvantages, Zimbabwe would gain from seigniorage rights and get credit facilities from South African financial institutions while also tapping into the advanced South African industry for retooling. Tambo says Zimbabwe needs to address the availability and cost of utilities like electricity and water, among other fundamentals, as part of the solution to the current economic crisis. He adds that the fact that a number of prominent well-to-do figures have had their properties attached over debts in the passing year means that things have been bad and could continue to get worse in the coming year.
I think it's going to be a very tough 2016 going forward. Even the postulations about the economy to grow by 2.7%, to me, I've been arguing that that's a very fictitious figure. I don't know where that figure is coming from. With more than 25,000 people having lost their jobs, I think within 6 weeks of the Supreme Court ruling, one wonders whether these people got any other new jobs thereafter. Even professionals are beginning to move out of the country. We are seeing it. Teachers, nurses and the like are beginning to leave the country again to go for better pastures elsewhere in other countries.
For Matabeleland Chapter President Reginald Shoko of the Affirmative Action Group, there have been some strides made in 2015 regarding the empowerment of indigenous locals, but government needs to get rid of policy discord, which he says is partly to blame for scaring away much-needed foreign direct investment. Shoko is in favor of internal devaluation, which, though criticized by some, he says would help bring down the cost of doing business in the country and thereby spurring economic revival. Shoko says government and ordinary Zimbabweans have to be prepared to take tough decisions if the economy is to be revived.
It's going to be a painful year next year because it caused all of us, both government, industry and all Zimbabweans, to come to understand one thing. We need to cut in a lot of things. Government on its own needs to cut on the salaries.
Ipitule Maposa, the provincial youth chairperson of ZAPU, who is also the party's director of information and publicity in the southern region, says the specter of a drought will worsen the country's economic situation. He, however, adds that there is a glimmer of hope for some improvement if the much-publicized deals between Zimbabwe and China come to fruition. The passing year has undoubtedly been tough for ordinary Zimbabweans, but despite the doom and gloom, the new year could provide the proverbial new beginning for the nation. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shava.
Now a look at regional and international news.
Pope Francis has called for reconciliation among fractured communities in his annual Christmas Day homily, presiding over a congregation of thousands at St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican City. Standing on the central outdoor balcony of the basilica facing a crowd of tens of thousands gathered in St. Peter's Square below, the Pope commented in his traditional Ubit Obi message, "Oh, to the city and to the world."
And the eastern United States has experienced an unusually warm December this year, and Christmas Day was no exception. East Coast cities like Washington, New York, and Boston that often get snow at this time of year are experiencing record high temperatures between 15 and 20 degrees Celsius.
The Zimbabwe Union of Journalists has condemned Alpha Media Holdings for giving journalists grocery vouchers instead of salaries. ZUJ Secretary General Foster Dongozi described as unacceptable this move by the cash-strapped newspaper group, which is claiming that it's facing cash flow problems.
As a union, we've received complaints from comrades from Alpha Media that they have been paid with vouchers and $50. We condemn that they have not been paid. Workers are entitled to their full benefits. What is even more disgusting is that workers are paid using vouchers, grocery vouchers. Not all workers, they want food. Some of them have food. Some of them are accomplished farmers or small-scale farmers who breed birds, road runners, chickens, ducks, quails, goats and so on, and they don't need meat. They've got gardens for their vegetables. They've got lay for their salsa. You know, they're self-reliant in those areas. So what, essentially what we're saying, you can't prescribe for people what they want. You can't even offer to pay rentals for them because what is their value? You can't offer to pay school fees for them because they may have other options for people paying school fees. So what we are saying is you cannot prescribe for people how they should spend their money. People should be given their money and in full.
That was ZUJ Secretary General Foster Dongozi speaking with Studio 7. Nyasha Nyakuno of the Zimbabwe chapter of the Media Institute of Southern Africa says this is worrying.
That is indeed very worrying. We are concerned. We get these reports. They worry us that journalists are going for months without being paid, and we're not very certain as to whether it is because the companies are failing to break even, which could be the case. It is happening throughout the economy. The country is facing economic hardships, but it's another issue that really needs to be looked into, and obviously we have our colleagues from the Zimbabwe Union of Journalists. That is their domain. These are issues that they should really look into and really investigate whether indeed the media companies are failing to break even or are not making profits and thereby unable to pay the journalists their due salaries.
That was Nyasha Nyakunu of the Zimbabwe chapter of the Media Institute of Southern Africa. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Harare. We were unable to get hold of Alpha Media Holdings boss Trevor Ncube as his mobile phone was not reachable.
Some community care workers in Mashingo Eben today partnered with members of a child protection committee and hosted a Christmas party for underprivileged children. Committee chairperson Ropa Fadzotabe, also a teacher at St. Francis Apiri, says they sourced the donations and managed to raise about $300 for taking care of some underprivileged people this Christmas.
We came up with this idea after meeting with my colleagues, because on our last meeting, the meeting which we had on closing day, we agreed that problems do come to our children day in and day out. So we just agreed that we must frequently meet. Then on our end of year meeting, that's when I suggested that with some dropouts who were coming to school, learning from few hours, which is called Zabek, and those disadvantaged children. Sometimes I make regular checks as I'm a teacher here. Then I find that sometimes they don't even have food. And sometimes I go on further asking them, and sometimes they tell me that they don't even eat anything at home. So it's a pathetic situation.
How did the community receive this?
The community, who are the recipients, really welcomed this idea, and they are saying, maybe they're saying, well, maybe by a good example, and they say they would support us.
Do you think the government is doing enough to help disadvantaged children?
Honestly, to be honest with you, I can't say the government is doing enough or is not doing anything. Because like now, being used to pay for children, but they are completely paying nothing. We cannot say they're ignoring. Maybe it's because of the hard economic situation. But again, I think they need to support such organizations instead of employing a chain of people who are just doing nothing. By the end of the day, results are not achieved.
That was Mashingo Eben Child Protection Committee Chairperson Ropa Fadzotabe on the phone from Mashingo.
Meanwhile, Zimbabweans have expressed a negative outlook over the country's 2016 economic prospects, with some saying nothing will change for the better, as the same methods of trying to fix the economy have been used several times without any success. Our correspondent Arthur Chigoriwa has more details from the Mashonaland West provincial capital, Chinoy.
The general belief among some Zimbabweans is that the economic situation will worsen this coming year owing to lack of prudent ways of tackling it. They say economic blueprints like the Zimbabwe Agenda for Sustainable Social Economic Transformation, which needs almost $27 billion to implement, and the 10-point plan crafted by President Robert Mugabe's government early this year won't revive the economy. Both economic concepts focus on the utilization of local resources to kickstart the economy, payment of the crippling external debt of more than $8 billion, and the indigenization of the economy, among others. But independent political analyst Tagura Jangaja says all this is not working, and as a result, the coming year is said to be tough for Zimbabweans. Jangaja says indications are that the price of basic commodities, health services, and the school fees will go up next year.
2016 is going to be a very tough year for an ordinary Zimbabwean, particularly with regards to the national economy. Government has decided to essentially privatize the state. That means things are going to get more expensive, from your health to your education. All of these issues are being done in the name of the IMF and the World Bank and other multilateral financial lending institutions, be they from China or the BRICS group of countries. So essentially it's going to be a very difficult economic year for the everyday Zimbabwean.
Spokesperson Obed Gutu of the Movement for Democratic Change Formation, led by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, echoed the same sentiments, adding that the gloomy economic prospects next year stem from the insignificant growth recorded in 2015.
This economy is in a serious deflation mode, and unless something is done, and something is done urgently, we are actually heading for a crisis in 2016 going forward.
His colleague in opposition politics, Jacob Mafume of the People's Democratic Party, adds that it is impossible to turn around the economy as current leaders are not God-fearing people.
2016 will be terrible year. There will be a biblical drought, a biblical famine.
Some people had hoped that Chinese President Xi Jinping's recent visit to Zimbabwe would help in resuscitating the economy, following reports that the two nations signed so-called mega deals to revive power stations and other projects that are normally associated with boosting the economy in functional economies. Zhangaja says these deals only directly benefit most Zimbabweans.
But the Chinese have a similar template in every country they interact with. They are there to do good business, make good money as far as they can. And if your government fails to meet the specific business-related criteria, they will not help you further. So it's not going to change any fundamentals. The template is given. Government wants to privatize the state. The Chinese government has the same intentions.
But the Pentecostal Assemblies of God pastor Tawanda Munaki strongly believed that 2016 is a year of economic and social revival.
When you look at 2016 and then you look at 2015, but then you look at 2008 and 2009. 2008 and 2009 have been our worst year. That was our rock bottom as a nation of Zimbabwe. And I don't think in our lifetime or even in the generations to come we'll ever experience the kind of life that we had in 2008 and 2009. So we have survived the worst. So on the basis of that, as we get ready to enter 2016, personally, there's hope, there's optimism, and that is premised on the word of God.
Some critics say there is a need for government to implement all the necessary political and electoral reforms that will pave the way for free, fair, credible, and uncontested elections. They say such moves will attract the much-needed foreign direct investment. But all this may be unachievable in the short term as the next general poll is in 2018. Reporting for Studio 7 in Shinoi, this is Ata Chigoriwa.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In Tunisia, where the Arab Spring was born, democratic progress continues. On a recent visit there, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said, "The eyes of the world are on Tunisia, and America wants Tunisia to succeed." Despite great hardships and two major terrorist attacks, Tunisia has turned time and again to peaceful dialogue, consensus building, and compromise. As a result, Tunisia has built a powerful front against the Islamic extremists who oppose freedom, democracy, and everything that the Tunisian people are striving to build. The United States is committed to helping Tunisia move forward on its economic, democratic, and security objectives. The United States has already provided more than $700 million in foreign assistance to Tunisia since 2011, in the form of direct aid to democracy building, assistance for elections and civil society organizations, and security support. That's why the United States supports Tunisia's ambitious economic reform agenda. The government has proposed specific reforms, which they have forwarded now to the parliament. In an effort to help Tunisia achieve its goals, the U.S. has signed a declaration of intent signifying its readiness to grant a third loan guarantee to Tunisia. In order to protect Tunisia's emerging democracy and growing prosperity, it is essential to enhance security cooperation. Toward that end, President Barack Obama recently announced his intent to designate Tunisia a major non-NATO ally. The U.S. will continue to stand with Tunisia in addressing all terrorist threats. Indeed, the United States welcomes Tunisia's decision to join the global counter-ISIL coalition in September. The terrorists associated with ISIL need to know this. Their days are numbered, and they will be defeated. There is no future, no path forward for ISIL, which does not lead ultimately to its destruction. The United States is committed to standing with the Tunisian people, to deepening the growing partnership that both nations share, and to continuing to support Tunisia's democratic journey.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
That's almost all, Jonga. But before we go, remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk when our hosts of the women's... in fact, our hosts will be talking about Christmas. That's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.